Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. It is Monday, June 2nd, 2003. At this time, with a quorum being present, I will open a work session on House Bill 5011, which is the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and it is the budget bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the first thing we have in front of us are the budget notes. Two of them you had in front of you last week, Thursday, and they have not been revised. The third is the budget note that was requested by Senator Morse, and I will read that to you. The Department of Consumer and Business Services, in consultation with its stakeholders, is directed to evaluate the delivery of building code services throughout Oregon, including alternatives. The evaluation should include an assessment of the current process for projecting service delivery and revenue requirements, with particular emphasis on ensuring that the revenue projections are conservative and factor in potential economic downturn. The department should develop recommendations based on this evaluation and should report these recommendations to the emergency board at the meeting closest to January 2005.
Senator Duke.
Forgive me. My emphasis when we talked about this last, whenever it was more that who we're serving. We're handling inspections for the smallest number and the most expensive customers, which drives our costs up considerably and results in us having to increase fees. And I'm interested in them taking a look at... I like the first part of the budget note, because I think it gets at that in a very broad way that could get at where Senator Morse is apparently wanting to go as well. But I'm interested in finding out or having them take a look at who we provide the services to. In one form or another, I have been involved peripherally in the building code stuff for almost 30 years. And if you can predict the next downturn, I'd love to hear it, and so would everybody else. But it ain't going to happen. So I guess I'm a little concerned if the focus that we're giving to the agency is revenue projections to try to avoid this. Everybody in construction knows that there are times when jobs are few and far between. We just hope that people have work when it's good, and that we can minimize by the things that fortune's beyond our control, what happens, and that the next downturn won't be too bad, or you'll have enough seniority that you'll survive it, or whatever. Your part of the state won't get it. So I guess my interest, I like the first part of this a lot, but my interest is that we try to get at what the agency's doing and who they're doing it with, because right now we're paying through the teeth to manage this portion of building codes, and if there is another way, it should be nice to find it. I don't know if there is, but if there is.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, first of all, I'll make sure that the budget report reflects this discussion so that it's clear what the expectations are. But I do think that the budget note is broad enough to encompass that. I don't think that there's a necessity to amend the budget note, because it does discuss the delivery of building code services throughout Oregon and the alternatives that might exist.
So how can you factor in potential economic downturns?
The intent of the budget note is to ensure that their forecasting methodology is conservative, and that it deals with the potential of an economic downturn, and that is exactly what Senator Morse asked, that it not be based on overly optimistic revenue scenarios.
Do we have some reason to think it has been?
I don't know. But it's going to be their responsibility as part of this budget note to discuss how they have, what they have done in terms of assessing the economic impact on the revenue needs.
Senator Morris?
Any kind of business plan involves certain assumptions that you make. What we're asking is that we not get overly optimistic in the business assumptions in doing the contingency planning in the event that things really go south. How do we manage the delivery of these services? And that's, I think, is reflected in here. You could probably end it at the first sentence, you know, and accomplish maybe what we're after. But it's just a matter of doing some contingency planning.
Certainly, Senator Dukes. Question to Senator Morris.
Why this agency and not the others that we've looked at? I mean,
well, this one.
I think this agency is doing that, is doing what you're asking them to do. And I know that when we put budget notes in, they have to stamp in for those. And their budget is tight. And that's why the other day, when there was something I was talking about with them, and you heard me say I was going to do it. I thought about doing a budget note and decided not to because they'd have to stand up for it. I didn't want them doing that. I am uncomfortable, honestly, with the piece about ensuring that the revenue projections are conservative and factor in potential economic downturns, because I don't know any way to factor in potential economic downturns, and I think they're doing a conservative job now. If they...
I might respond.
Mm-hmm. For Senator Morris.
If this requires adding any staff, we're going in the wrong direction. These are the kind of things that they ought to be doing just as a matter of course in planning for the future.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in checking with the agency with this, this is not going to require additional staff.
They didn't need additional staff. They're going to take somebody who's doing work now, and they're going to put together a report for the legislature.
Mr. Chair, members, actually, this reflects work that they are currently doing. They are looking at the delivery of building code services, have been for several biennia. I think the only thing additional that this entails will be their reporting to the emergency board, because they share the legislature's concern over increased costs based on reduced service and because of the economic downturn and the lower volume. I don't see this as being much more than them being required to organize what they're doing and prepare a report for the legislature. So it's very consistent with their current operations. And I think that the value in it is that it will help the legislature to understand how they're doing their forecasting and what actions they are taking with regard to statewide service delivery. As you well know, it is a sensitive political issue, and they will be able to talk about those issues when they bring it forward to the emergency board.
Great. Can I get you to come on up for a second? And then... let the record show that Greg's head was nodding in agreement with what Robin was saying. So let's hear from you, and then we have a question from or a comment from Senator Morris.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Greg Malkasian, the Deputy Director of the Department of Consumer Business Services, and I was nodding as Robin was explaining that. And our econometric model that we use in developing the forecasts of revenues does anticipate a recession model. And we are developing that as we speak with respect to building codes, and we would be pleased to be able to present that to the committee. And we also do recognize Senator Duke's issue of looking at different alternatives, and I think the existing language of looking at alternatives of service delivery on the other side of the budget note does anticipate the issue that she was expressing. Thank you.
Senator Morris?
My suggestion, Mr. Chair, was to hear from Mr. Malkasian with respect to this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Hanser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The only I don't really want to mess with the wording of the budget note, because I think the sense of it, this department understands the sense of it and what needs to be done. But if you put too much emphasis on the economic downturn side, which is certainly can be critical issues when you're in them, the flip side of that is being able to move quickly to be able to deliver the level of service during the upswing. You've got to take that into consideration too, that if you end up with an economy that starts to take off, if you don't, you need some strategy in effect of how are you going to meet that increased demand. It's a two-way street, but I think as they look at these issues and stuff, that they'll come back to us with a plan and a report that takes both into consideration.
Absolutely. We need a motion to approve the budget notes, if everyone's in agreement with that.
Well, you're not.
Sorry. Not the way it's written.
Okay, now, but were you able to hear Greg when he...
I did.
Oh, you did.
I did, and I understand that. But I don't know how many agencies we're going to hold before the emergency board before we're done this session, and I just don't think this one needs to come to the emergency board. I'm fine with this, as Senator Morris said, the first sentence. But I'm not okay with the rest of it.
I'm being quiet, waiting for input.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the budget note.
Okay, let's stand by for a second and have Senator Carter participate in this.
All right.
Now, maybe I shouldn't have done that with that smile on her face.
You guys been working all weekend long. My days are like I had been.
The they've already had to hear that story from all of us. We have an additional budget note. It's on the second page. You have it. And the building codes service delivery.
So that means that the building codes the CBS would work with the building codes for them to do this?
Okay. Senator Morris has moved the acceptance of, we can record this, or you just want to just say?
Oh, I want to
know. Okay. All right. You want to take roll?
Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the following budget notes, the three bullet points that are here. And because of some concern on this, well, I'm going to ask that the roll be taken on that motion.
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Senator Deese?
No.
Senator Carter?
Say what?
Up to
oh, certainly.
Thank you.
Right. We will stand by. Stand at ease.
Can
you
get a call to
roll? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Representative Hanson?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Senator Dukes?
No.
Senator Carter?
No.
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Chair George?
Aye. Budget notes have been accepted by the committee, and our next...
Actually, Mr. Chair, they failed.
They failed.
You need three Senate votes.
Yep.
The gavel hasn't come down.
And the gavel has not come down.
Down yet.
Right.
No.
All right. What do we want to do? You guys want to strike some of the wording in here? Or?
Mr. Chair, if you leave the first sentence, I'm okay. I don't know what Senator Carter will
do. I'll be following my colleagues.
Okay. Leave the first sentence.
In.
Yes, in. Yes. Yes.
That's a good spot working with their stakeholders and their partners and gets them working on a variety of things. I assume part of that will be projections and part of it will be who we still regulate.
Okay. So you're seeing the alternatives is very broad.
Yes.
Could it even include the valuation of the potential economic downturn?
It could include all of that stuff. It could include taking the entire inspection program back to the state.
Mm-hmm.
It could include getting rid of the last pieces that we've got. It could include anything that they do. We're saying go out there and work with your stakeholders.
Is the concern a report to the emergency board? Is that the...
And the emphasis on the economic downturns, which I think is unrealistic, and I think the agency's already doing it.
That's correct. From my perspective, there's a value to having them come in front of the emergency board right before session starts so that the legislature is aware of the work that they have been doing, can report on that work, and can identify any potential problems that they may see. And that's the reason for having that report to the emergency board right before session starts. They are already doing this work. The question is whether or not the committee thinks that there's value in having them report to the emergency board on the work that they're doing just before the session starts.
And go to the next legislative subcommittee on the back. Next session.
Okay, well, why not just strike the last part of that last sentence then?
You could have them report to the legislature.
I don't want them to report to anybody. I don't know. Maybe it's just Monday. They may have to finish the last motion yet.
Well, strike the budget note. It's not worthy of this discussion. They're doing it anyway. If there's no reporting mechanism that's desired to follow up by way of legislative oversight, then it's pointless.
So. Chair George. Question. That's fine, but I've got to vote in on this now, so...
Okay.
Hang on one second. Let me go ahead and complete that. The motion has not received the needed majority. And so we're back to the discussion then of appropriate budget notes. Recognize Representative Smith.
Actually, that's okay. The budget notes now failed, so I'm going to withhold my comments.
As of now, Mr. Chair, all of the budget notes
have failed. That's correct. So we need a motion to adopt some sort of budget notes, if any.
I guess let me do ask a question, Chair.
Let's go ahead.
Robin, how long would reporting to the emergency board take in terms of actual time?
Great. Can we get you back up to the standard state right there?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the reporting to the emergency board would be could be practically no time at all, depending on how it's handled. I don't know whether the emergency board is going to have a consent calendar or not. There would be an appearance in front of the subcommittee to discuss the issues. Generally with a report that is not too extensive, although if issues are raised, time could be set aside to deal with that. And then if there's a consent calendar, the time in front of the full Ways and Means Committee would be about 2 seconds. If not, there could be a fuller discussion. Again, it depends on whether or not issues are surfaced that need to be discussed prior to heading into the next legislative session.
Senator
Carter. May I suggest a 5-minute recess for Senator Morse and Senator Dukes, along with the department head discussion?
Sounds good to me. We will be in a 5-minute recess. We're back online. Senator Dukes has passed a suggestion for the wording on the third budget note, the building code service delivery.
Mr. Chair, I have in front of us an amendment proposed by Senator Duke, starting with the first sentence, strike the second sentence. In the third sentence, after recommendations to the strike emergency board and the following language, and add next legislative session. Or the 73rd legislative assembly.
Okay. All right with that.
Chair, I would be tickled to move the amendment to the third budget.
Now, on that one, I'm going to do that without objection.
And I'm tickled to say yes.
Okay, not objecting. All right. Amendments have been issued for the third budget note, as described by Robin Lamont.
Okay.
Now, we need a brand new motion of some sort.
Actually, you can move again to approve the the budget note
as amended.
As amended.
So moved.
Representative Hansen has moved the budget notes, including the amendments to the third budget note, without objection. Okay, so moved.
Okay. And the next thing that we need, Mr. Chair, is a motion to approve the agency budget of 1,082 positions, 1,074.17 FTE, 178,364,392 other funds, and 386,534,154 non-limited other funds.
So moved.
Senator Carter has moved the second motion, which is to approve the agency budget of 1,082 positions and 1,074.17 FTE and the other notes that are listed below. Without objection. Okay. So moved.
Mr. Chair, I need a motion to amend House Bill 5011 in Section 2, delete 182.922.758 and insert 178.364.392 and delete Section 2, Subsection 4.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter has moved the amendment to House Bill 5011. Is there any further discussion about that? If not, without objection. So moved.
And I need a motion to move House Bill 5011 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Tickled to move.
Okay. Yes, I got it. Senator Carter has moved House Bill 5011 be amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Are any questions or further comments about that motion? If not, without objection. So moved. Senator Carter, since you had the bulk of the motions here.
I don't mind at all.
Okay.
And I need a house carrier.
House carrier. Okay. Representative Smith said he would do that.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to thank you guys. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 5011, the Department of Consumer and Business Services budget bill. And at this time, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5541, real estate agency budget bill. Rick is passing out comments for us here. We'll stand.
Okay, I don't have it. All right.
You don't have it?
Thank you.
Ready for me?
Back to you.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, a while back the subcommittee was taking action on the budget of the real estate agency. At that time, we were going through a memo that looked like this that I had you working through. I don't know if members want another copy of that or if you have a copy. I've got some other copies here if you need them. At that time, we had gotten down through that memo to the point where we had actually approved the budget. The motion on the second page, motion to approve the budget for the real estate agency is modified to amend line 6 of Senate Bill 5541. That motion was made and was approved. At that point, there was discussion regarding the client trust accounts and the issues surrounding the monitoring of client trust accounts. And the desire of the subcommittee was for the agency and the interested parties to get together and come up with some resolution to that. That meeting has occurred, and the resolution that came from that meeting was the budget note that you have in front of you. And this budget note, we have talked with a few of you regarding this budget note, and the co-chairs have approved this budget note as well. And so the budget note is in front of you now. We would need a motion to approve the budget note.
Rick, would you go ahead and read it into the record?
Sure.
Somebody out here that may have not seen it.
Yeah, the budget note states the following. The subcommittee discussed issues related to losses of property manager client trust accounts. The subcommittee directed the agency to consider adopting administrative rules prohibiting licensees from using debit cards issued by financial institutions on client trust accounts. Two, conduct periodic mail-in audits on a random significant sample of licensee client trust accounts. And three, form a task force consisting of representatives interested in property management issues, including members at large, small nonprofit organizations, and industry groups. The task force will analyze long-term solutions, such as a recovery fund, an alternative state bond program for those unable to obtain bonds, overdraft notification, and other solutions. The task force will develop proposals for consideration by the 2005 Legislative Assembly.
Okay. Representative Smith.
An observation, and I'm prepared to be a yes, no, but just an observation, prohibiting the use of debit cards. A debit card is nothing more than a tool, and a budget note isn't going to legislate or regulate honesty. And really the way you determine fraud or theft is through audits, not through the elimination of a process, because there's an awful lot of people out there that use debit cards that are also honest. So, just an observation.
Well, and that is a significant issue. We were all concerned, you know, about $1.3 million over what I believe a three-year period, but we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars worth of transactions that occur without, you know, without any disappearance of funds. So it is important to recognize that this is a minor problem, but this is that work group that was established last week was to look for at some things that might be considered to be appropriate ways to deal with some of the loss.
Just a follow-up. What happens, though, if there's an entity out there that has a very, very solid accounting system and they primarily rely on debit cards and they're honest and they have audits and they pass their audits with no management needs?
Scott, can I get you to come on up and we'll maybe kind of give the view from the agency's point of view?
And again, I'm just raising a point. It's not, okay. I have no dog in this fight, so.
Well, we have representative answer, but we'll come back.
Mr. Chair, member of the committee, for the record, my name's Scott Taylor. I'm the Oregon Real Estate Commissioner. Mr. Senator George, Representative Smith. Theoretically, I agree with you completely. a debit card, even on a client's trust account, if the accounting is correct and that sort of thing, really shouldn't be a problem. However, looking at it from a regulatory standpoint, it seems unusual to me to be using a debit card for a client trust account type transactions. In my mind, there is more opportunity there for something to happen that's aberrant than what I would say a normal type transaction would be. We did have the use of that in the particular case at hand. Again, the honest person, it's not going to be a problem, but it's that's the best answer I can give.
But Chair George, and again, I don't have a dog fight or dog in this fight, but every month someone's getting a monthly bank statement, and if an organization's doing their job, they're reconciling with that statement. And so within 30 days of somebody out there dishonestly using a debit card, if appropriate checks and balances are in place, that's going to be detected. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe there's just... Again, it's not my issue. I'm afraid of it, yes.
Commissioner Taylor, also, the discussion I had with you, we have other states that have made a similar decision. Have actually taken action on that relative to debit card?
Mr. Chair, as to the debit card, I'm not aware of that. Okay. Something might help Representative Smith. I've had, when I was a broker, I've had an embezzlement out of my trust account. And he's correct, within 30 days should be the outside that you would detect that. If an employee got a hold of a debit card or something like that, they can run up a fairly tremendous amount fairly quickly, and you may not know it just because of the ease of use of a debit card. So as a broker, I think it would concern me that there were debit cards on trust accounts. At least at this stage in all of our technological awareness. Now, I'm one of them that uses a debit card, and I'm faithful in my accounting, but I'd be real concerned if it got in the wrong hands.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the key word in this budget note is consider.
Consider.
And these are certainly worthy issues that we've raised, and I trust that through the administrative rule process, if that they can work through this. On a face value, I think debit cards are something that should, the use of them should be looked into. If they're a real valuable tool that the industry needs, that'll come out through the administrative rule process. And again, the consideration is the key word. And maybe they come up with rules on how to deal with debit cards without banning them. But I think we're just pointing the agency in the direction that we want them to look, without conclusions in terms of what they really need to do. So I would favor the budget. And would be willing to make that motion at any appropriate time.
We have a couple of questions before that. I appreciate that. Senator Dukes and then Senator Carter.
Mine was only, I was trying to figure out when one would use a debit card on an account like this with a clear conscience.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, I think that's the same question I had. The group that met seemed to be, that was one of the few things that I think that group came to consensus on, is they didn't see a need for it.
Hopefully we're not using this as, you know, how to cover the expenses on the weekend sort of thing. So,
right. And the concern, if you guys remember, if everyone remembers, was that many financial institutions with just the opening of the account will automatically send the card. So the potential is there for it to need additional supervision.
But you can request that they not send it.
And that would be very appropriate. Senator Carter?
I think we're fooling ourselves. We think this budget note is going to work. $1 million has been done away with. And none of us, we may as well just really just not even have this budget note. It is of no consequence. And for the 50 people that I got emails from these small nonprofit organizations, it doesn't do it for them. But I will support this motion today and reserve the right to vote no on the floor.
Senator Carter, what would you recommend we do?
because...
I had some ideas.
Okay.
But it would have been a fight that because I would need to have gone back to the substantive committee.
Right.
Because I was told by the co-chairs my budget note would not have worked because it was too much into the substantive arena. So I accepted that. Mm-hmm. And told the people, the group that I've been meeting with, what was going to happen, and they don't feel is of any consequence. So I'll just observe the 18 months that we are off and see what happens. I mean, you might have to take chances on them coming back, and this assembly that is not doing anything this time, we'll see if any more money is missing to poor people out there, but not to poor people, to the consumers. Happens again, and I think that's what all of us are asking for, but not doing anything this time.
Commissioner Taylor, I accepted from you and the work group that you guys have identified a problem, that you're taking steps to address that. What is your thought? I mean, what kind of assurance can we give to Senator Carter and constituents? We have an individual that's back here again today in order to express concern about, you know, the folks that have the property being managed, that it be managed securely. What assurance can we give them?
Mr. Chair, what I can give you is the assurance that I will drive that interim group to the extent that I can to come up with something that is meaningful. And we have two things we're trying to work on here. First is prevention, which I think the increased auditing will take care of, plus some other things we did with Senate Bill 446 that are really only now coming into play. And the other side of it is, should something happen, and we know there are dishonest people out there, we know there are people that are going to make errors that are going to cost people money. Is there some way that we can help make those folks whole, which is something we don't have in our legislation today? The mere fact that this committee has said what it said and that there are legislators behind it pushing it really gives me a lot of help in getting something done. And I'll commit my resources to get you something meaningful that hopefully will work. I mentioned the recovery fund. Many states use that, and it seems to be effective.
Representative Smith.
You know, and I, actually, the more I read through this and think about it, perhaps a budget note that says property manager client trust account shall be maintained in compliance with GAAP, period. That's going to cover it, and that's going to have just as much teeth. I mean, the fact you're not going to legislate or administrate honesty.
That's true.
What you're trying to say is in the past, books haven't been kept accordingly. They haven't been kept correctly. And in the future, we're going to make sure that they meet generally accepted accounting principles.
Chair, Representative Smith, I think, actually, if you look at the rules today, they are at least GAAP, if not more stringent than GAAP. I'm not an expert on generally accepted accounting principles.
What else are you going
to
do?
Well, we have the one of the provisions is for them to form a task force to look at a recovery fund, and that may be the part is that everybody has to pay a little bit in to cover the people who are dishonest. And so I thought that was a positive step because there must be something that will help those folks that Senator Morris, Senator Carter, and every one of us who just absolutely cannot financially stand a loss because of the mismanagement by a property managing firm. But just so I get that again for the on the record, is that currently now, under the rules that regulate the real estate operators, those requirements of prudent financial accounting are already in place.
Chairman, that's correct. They're required to reconcile their accounts monthly. Generally, when we go into these situations, we find they haven't. They're also required to reconcile their individual ledgers. That's the individual property generally. Those are supposed to reconcile against the other reconciliation, which I believe that's why I was saying in some cases it's more stringent than GAAP. That goes beyond GAAP. as I understand GAAP, where we're finding the problems is they're not doing those reconciliations. That's part of the motive behind the stepped-up audit system that we're doing.
That's correct.
That's also not without precedent in the state. It was done in the mid-'80s also. And we'll use that same type of approach, and I think that's doable with some reallocations within the office and current resources.
Senator Morris?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate this approach because one of those that brings attention to the issue requires the agency and the industry to come together to find solutions that work. And for us to try to presume, you know, in the short time, and even in our roles, what works and doesn't work is a little difficult.
And like DCBS?
Pardon?
That's what we were doing with DCBS. I don't see anything we'd be doing any different with DCBS than we do with this agency. I mean, in terms of your statement, I'm sorry. I should have cut my mouth shut. I'm not sorry what I said. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Well, we can disagree on that. But anyway, I think this moves us in the right direction.
Any further comments? If not, I will accept a motion from Representative Hanson.
Move the proposed budget note.
Okay. Representative Hanson moved that we approve the budget notes as presented. Or is there any further discussion?
I don't know.
Or no?
Yeah.
All right. We better take roll on this. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hansa?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Sure. Aye.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Carter?
No.
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Chair George?
Aye. Okay, our budget notes have been accepted.
Mr. Chair, we now need a motion to send House Bill 5541 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Krieger has moved that we send it on to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any questions or further comments? Not? Let's go ahead and take the roll. Without objection?
Without objection.
Without objection. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the next item on this memo that we come to is the performance measures, and we had some discussion at the last meeting regarding performance measures, and the agency's provided me a response to Senator Duke's concerns regarding performance measures. We got this morning, so I'll hand that out.
Cheers, the last.
There was your
question. That was my miscount.
And again, I'll remind the committee that during the budget hearings, there were not significant concerns about the budget notes, except for what was expressed during the last meeting by Senator Dukes, and they've talked about that here now in this response. And with that, LFO would recommend the performance measures be approved as submitted by the agency.
Everyone's still looking at this presentation, so we'll just kind of stand by until we... Senator Carter.
Even if I look at the performance measures, I think the commission is trying to do the best it can, but it has this over out here someplace. And And I'm frustrated because what needs to happen should have happened in the substantive committee vote.
208.
That's exactly right. So, I mean, there's nothing you can do around here.
Well, and Senator Carter articulated earlier the fact that co-chairs did reestablish the idea that we are not to be a substantive committee.
Right.
And I think we just pushed it about as far as they will go with us.
Mm-hmm.
And with the assurance of the commissioner that some of these things are going to occur, you know, I've reached my comfort level. So
but
that doesn't mean you are required to meet your goals.
Right. I just want to commend Commissioner Taylor, because I just think that Dr. Henn to try to answer to what some of the issues are is commendable. So, and not being down on you, I just think some of the things, the practices that are happening, need to be changed, and it can't be done here. So.
Should be under the agency somewhere, Taylor.
Oh,
none of the
I can't find anything I recognize as performance.
Page, go to the next page.
Subcommittee comments.
Your data summary?
Page 18.
Subcommittee comments. Am I in the right book? The other book?
It's the governor.
Yep.
Budget minor there. That book.
Okay. Thank you.
This is the summary.
Thank you.
We probably hold a record for the longest periods of silence in a committee. we're waiting for everyone to review it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
Is there any... Does that make any difference? I don't know. Is there anything... I mean, I see we're talking about the number of audits completed, but forgive me, I'm not real familiar with real estate sales. It's just starting to seem to me that you can complete an audit and it shows there's a problem. And, you know, it's kind of like, so we don't have the teeth to do anything about it. So I'm wondering if it should be the number of I don't even know what the right term is, but sort of good, not good, but, you know, audits where everything is okay kind of audits. So that we're trying to say that, yes, you need to be auditing, but you need to be doing whatever you can to encourage those audits to be coming out in a positive way. And they're probably doing all that anyway, so.
Commissioner Taylor, can I get you to respond to that? Could you hear? Okay.
Did he understand it?
Mr. Chair, I'll try, Senator.
What?
I'll try.
Okay.
There are two kinds of what I would call an audit that the agency does. One is an audit of the trust accounts, which is probably a true audit. The other is what we call a compliance review, which is to see is the company conducting their business according to the rules, and are they doing all the things they need to be doing. Both of those, I think, are preventive. I would say the compliance review is very educational. When I came to the agency, again, I use myself as an example just because I happen to know the case. In my case, I came to the agency in 1995. From 1981 to 1995, I'd worked in two different real estate brokerage firms. The firm that I first worked in, which I owned, had last had an audit in 1981. And when I came to the agency in 1995, I know they hadn't been audited or had a compliance review since that point. The company I'd left had been in business since 1978 and had never had one. That concerned me, both from a consumer standpoint as well as from a broker standpoint, because those things help keep you familiar with the changes in the law. So we started a new emphasis on doing those kind of compliance reviews, which have increased somewhat during my tenure. Now, to be fair to the agency, when they were doing those, when you could count on seeing someone every two or three years, they had over twice as many people as they have today doing them. So, in some respects, it's a function of personnel.
I don't think we can strictly agree with Senator Carter. At this point, we can't get at any of the things we want. Unless we want to give them more people, we can't get them auditing more often, and that's what keeps them honest, theoretically. So.
Okay, do we have a motion to accept the performance measures?
So moved.
So moved.
Representative Hansen has moved that we accept the performance measures. Rick, is there anything else we need to consider on that? Should we call roll on this?
Yes.
Okay. Without objection? So moved.
Mr. Chair, just a couple of other items to report on vacancies. There are no vacancies in this agency for the subcommittee to review. The ending balance issue, as we reviewed and conducted a cash flow analysis of the agency, the 03-05 estimated ending balance for the real estate agency is $984,894. When you take into LFO considerations and the reductions that have been made in the budget here, the ending balance will be slightly over $1.1 million, which is 4.2 months worth of expenditures for the agency, so that's well within the 3 to 6 month recommended levels. So LFO is satisfied with the ending balance situation for the agency.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Certainly, Senator Dukes.
When was the last time your agency had a performance or fiscal audit from the Secretary of State's office?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duke, I don't remember. It's been several years.
Senator Carter.
Senator Duke, that was one of the questions that I asked. I haven't got to say that to you.
Senator Carter, could you say that again? I could already hear you in that.
One of my suggestions was that the agency would have an audit by the Secretary of State, and I got rebuttal on that too.
Idea. We're having trouble grappling with the agency, and we're not experts in it, but we have people who understand that sort of stuff.
They make a comment.
Right now, in the Secretary of State's budget, the co-chair's budget eliminates all discretionary audits in the Secretary of State's office. So that would leave the Secretary of State available to do those audits that are required by statute, which would be change of director audits. So if Mr. Taylor were to leave and a new commissioner would come on board, they would be required to have an audit. But other than that, currently, the co-chair's budget eliminates all discretionary audits from the Secretary of State's audit division.
Yeah, so it's not even the totality of why I'm saying that we are leaving a consumer group at risk in this state.
Yeah. Why would you plan on voting for that piece of that budget when it gets full anyway, so...
Representative Fancy?
That was just a comment I was going to make, is that the Secretary of State's office audit division is getting whacked real hard.
Yeah.
Senator Morris.
I had to really guard myself there. Go ahead. We have a growing ending balance.
Right.
There's really an interest in auditing a 31 member firm. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's a pretty small audit. Require the agency to withdraw ending balance and have an external audit. Have it report back to the not to the e-board, because you say they're too busy.
This one might actually.
Maybe that's your interest. But the funds are available, and if we're serious about it, have an external review.
$5,000, you could have it done. $6,000.
Pardon?
$5,000-$6,000, you could have it done.
Yeah, very, very simple.
Okay.
That's crazy.
That's a crazy motion on that. I haven't even balanced it.
All
right. Okay. Where are you? We're done on this thing? Okay. Other than, are we considering going back and adding more budget notes here? Is that... Now, Rick says we're done.
Okay.
No, but that's what I asked. I said, are we going to add another budget note?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't think it would be a budget note. You'd have to change the budget to do that. I don't know if we do external audits here. But I'd sure like to have somebody take a look at this that isn't us.
Mr. Chair, we would have to go back and investigate and find out whether or not they can go outside for an external audit or whether they're required to have Secretary of State do it. Again, based on the response that I got regarding the budget note that has been approved, we may be pushing on policy area again here as well. And
yes, Representative Hanson.
Well, quick comment. Just an outside financial audit, I don't think would help us a great deal. I've got no discomfort that their ledgers are off or that funds aren't accounted for correctly with us. In terms of a performance audit to have an external look at better ways to do their business and improve procedures is probably more expensive. One thing we should be looking at, especially if we're talking about reducing the Secretary of State funds for being able to do discretionary audit. One opportunity, and this would be a lot broader than this committee's purview, would be to allow agencies to request performance audits from the Secretary of State and pay for them themselves. And especially on the agencies that we've been looking at ending balances, there are probably opportunities within the ending balances to pay for performance audits. That would help keep the Secretary of State's division whole. It would also give our agencies that haven't been audited for a long time an opportunity to look at what's going on. And the Secretary of State's audit division does first-rate work. And I think that there could be an opportunity for a lot of our lot of our smaller agencies to do that. But that's more of a broader budget strategy that goes beyond, you know, just what we're talking about here. But maybe that's something that could be suggested to the chair.
Senator Dukes.
Could we have a break for a few minutes and maybe we could visit with staff and see if there was a way of doing something here?
Back on missed opportunities. And we fussed about this agency front of the hall.
That's fine. We need to resolve, to at least get some resolution here. Let's go. Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute break again. Everyone stand by. You can earn. For the committee, if we completed the work on setup.
Did we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we did do it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Thanks for asking. Because I missed it before on Senate Bill 5541.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
I move Senate Bill 5541 with all amendments that were necessary to the full committee with a good pass recommendation.
We actually had that motion. We've had that motion. We voted on it already.
We voted on it. So.
We're done.
We're done. All right.
Yes.
I would suggest we recess for 5 more minutes and then.
I really want to recess. That comment, I'm hitting that gavel. This committee is, we have closing the work session on section 5541, and with a tap of the gavel, we're adjourned.